Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Podcast, where we get to the truth of who God is and who He says you are. Today, we are going to be talking about one of my favorite things, prayer. I asked my friend Taylor Jensen to come on and share his story and some of his heart behind prayer. You're gonna hear some crazy stories. It's gonna be a good time. It's gonna get unfiltered.
Yeah, I'm actually born and raised in San Diego, California, from here. So, you know, life's tough, you know, out here in the sunny beach weather. But basically grew up here and, you know, I was Christian, you know, most of my life, but it was just because my parents were, it was kind of the churchgoer thing, but it wasn't really real for me. I thought it was just about getting to heaven when I died and that was it, you know, and kind of hit a crossroads in my faith where it really, a lot of my life fell apart. And I said, I prayed a dangerous prayer and I said, Lord, if you're real, show me, you know. And then I ended up, all these things ended up pointing towards me actually going to YWAM and becoming a missionary. So I went to YWAM and that's, I encountered the Lord. I ended up, I told God, right, that I'd only be there like 6 months. I ended up being there 3 years and I actually just went all over the world. I lived in Colombia in orphanages, Cambodia, like with tribes in the bush out there. I actually lived in North Korea for a little while. I lived in China, lived in Africa, kind of just went all over. And when I was, it was just amazing. It was just basically living the gospel, following Holy Spirit wherever He led. And we just saw revival everywhere we went. It was incredible.
Wow.
And then I felt the Lord tell me about 10 years ago, when I was living in Cambodia, and I thought I was going to be there for the rest of my life, it was revival. It was like I was reading the book of Acts and saying, whoa, that happened today, you know?
Yeah.
And I heard the Lord say, can I do this in San Diego? Can I do this in California and in America? And to be totally transparent, because my prayer life with God is very transparent, I just said, God, I don't know if you can. And then He challenged me and He said, I'm the same God there as I am here. There's only one way you'll find out. And so I actually moved back to San Diego on a word of the Lord that if I moved here, I would see revival in California. And I've actually been a youth pastor and college pastor pretty much ever since. I'm involved with an awesome local church who just heart just burns for revival. And we've been just been going for it for like 10 years now, just seeking revival in California and kind of in the San Diego area.
Oh, I love that. And I'm from LA, so I'm so excited about California just getting filled with the Holy Spirit and
yeah.
seeing transformation, because you can only see transformation in nations when you yourself get transformed. So like
it's true.
The gospel is like getting, you know, bringing heaven into us and really being discipled by the Lord and walking with Him and having that relationship with Him. And then from there, you can overflow and pour into people. I'm so excited about young people becoming prayer warriors and intercessors and just standing in the gap and just, you know, getting in prayer. And it's just like, my heart just is so burning for that. So yeah. It's a good time. It's a good time to be alive.
It is an exciting time to be alive. I really think all the angels and saints in heaven are looking over at earth right now and just saying like, they are so excited, I think, even more than we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're saying, do you realize the hour you live in? It's the gospel has never been like more fulfilled. Jesus has never been closer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Prayer is not, it's not a burden. It's actually like a way to kind of release, like even mm-hmm. When you start your relationship and walk with the Lord, it's like, it's your way of drawing near to Him. And it's not something to where you feel like you're striving or you're performing or like you're getting His attention by praying to Him. It's like you're actually praying with Him and partnering with Him and you're having a conversation. Like it's the most open conversation you could ever have, because like some things you don't even want to tell your friends, but you can actually tell God like, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. Like mm-hmm. I actually fell back into a habit last night. Like you can open up and tell Him. It's not like you're like performing, you know? And I think that mm-hmm. a lot of people can get into that mindset of like, okay, like it's actually just a conversation. So
yeah. Yeah, you hit it really. There's kind of like you said, the two different types. There's that personal prayer life and then there's the corporate kind of intercession. And starting first with that personal prayer life, it's just exactly what you said. It's just conversation with God, connection with God. You know, every relationship has to have communication and connection. Can you imagine being in a relationship where it's just like, oh, I'm only gonna talk to you when I sinned and I messed up? you know, yeah. Or I'm only going to talk to you when I need something. You know, that would be a dysfunctional relationship. And yet so many of us, we only talk to God when we feel like we sinned or when we need help, you know, and we're saying, bail me out, Lord. And so prayer really needs to shift into, it's a conversation about everything, just like, you know, just like a relationship, just like your best friend. You tell him, God, this was amazing. God, this was horrible. God, I'm really struggling right now. Or God, I'm really happy right now. Or I would go to a movie and say, Jesus, sit with me, be with me on this, almost like this Jesus date kind of a thing.
Yes,
you know?
I love that.
Right. Prayer really is the communication, the lifeline of the believer. It's the oil for your car. You know, without it, you might go for a little while, but eventually you burn out. The way that you stay burning on fire for decades and decades is really through that personal prayer life. You know, that's the secret, is prayer. And a lot of times you can't really grow in prayer without just praying. It's like one of those things you just learn as you do it. There's principles we can talk about today for sure, but you just got to get in there and do it and just break the awkward silence with God and just be messy. Just be unfiltered, you know, just like open up and just say anything to you. He already knows what's going on in your heart, you know, so you might as well talk to him about it. It's like, there's no hiding it from God. So you might as well just talk about it anyway, you know, and it really changes your connection and your relationship with God. And it really is the key to becoming on fire and sustaining that fire, you know?
Yes. I remember, I think it was like even last, it was last December or something. I remember laying in my bed and I felt this like strong urge of like, I need to pray more. And it's so wild. Yeah. Like, I think I even prayed a prayer like, Lord, help me like be like pray more. And I remember just feeling all of a sudden, God was like, it's not like this hard thing. You just literally like write in your journal, talk to me. Like it's talk this constant me. Conversation I have every day. And it's like, even if we feel distant, we have to remember that he's not distant and he's not mad at you for like not like, you know, having a close relationship, because at the end of the day, he lives in you. Like the Spirit of God is in you. It's the awareness of his there-ness. I heard a pastor say that one time, like the awareness of his presence is like actually what will change it. And realizing he's actually not far. He meets you on the ground. He's not like in the sky. You can't see him obviously, but he meets you where you are.
Exactly.
So it's never like, he's never far away.
Exactly.
And Jesus is like, you're seated in heavenly places with him. So that's another thing to like remember.
Yeah, it's so intimate, so close. And sometimes we think that prayer, I know for most of my life I thought prayer was this like, you start it with saying, dear God, and you end it with say, amen. And then you say, and thank you for our day, and here's my sins, amen. Like a weird letter, you know, that you send to him. And it's like, that doesn't work in any relationship. That's not how it works, you know? And I remember there was a time in my life where honestly, I didn't really know if I believed if God was real or not, or if he was distant or if he could hear me. And I kind of just lost it. Like I said, all the things you're not supposed to do. Like I just started yelling at God. I told him everything on my heart. I started yelling. I was praying cuss words at him. I know everyone's like, you're not supposed to do that. I was just telling him everything on my heart because I had it. And then it was crazy. I did this for like 3 days. I just unloaded like years worth of just crud onto God, right?
It's like things that we shove down.
Totally. You know? So deep. And it's crazy. This lady, she's basically the first person ever who showed me God. You could hear God's voice. She looked at me all weird. And I was thinking like, oh no, she's like reading my mind or something crazy. She's about to rebuke me. God's probably so mad at me. You know, I said bad words to him. I shouldn't have done that. Like, and I'm ready for like, to get hit by lightning or something, you know? And she comes up to me and she says, God has a word for you. And I was like, oh no, here it comes, right? And she said, God has been talking to me a lot about you these last 3 days. And I'm like, oh no, that's like how long I've been yelling and like venting on God, right? And she says, and God, all he wants to say is, because for the first time in your life, you're finally starting to pray. For the first time in your life, you're finally starting to talk to him. And it just shattered the paradigm I put God in. And I realized, oh my goodness, like he just wants us to be that unfiltered, raw, real, tell me what's happening in your heart, you know? Yeah. And I realized, even though I was venting, I was actually closer to God in that moment than when I was like being all like theologically, like, you know, debating someone to try to prove God was real. I was actually closest to mm-hmm. God when I just dumped it all onto him, you know?
Yeah.
And that really is the key to your prayer life. Personal is just tell him everything going on in your heart. It's okay. He can handle it. You know, he's a big boy. He can handle it. You know,
if it matters to you, it matters to him.
Exactly.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it really is a marriage, you know, like I said, what kind of marriage would work if you never told them what was on your heart? And so that's like the main thing with personal prayer. And there's little disciplines you can do to like make sure you have prayer time with God, just like you're disciplined to like take your girlfriend or boyfriend out on a date, you know, like you set time aside to go be with him, you know, and talk
you're
to him.
You're intentional. Yeah,
exactly. Cause it's a relationship. So you just gotta be intentional, you know, about it. And that is the key to keeping that personal prayer life burning, is always intentionally talk to him, you know, but talk to him throughout the day, like sending a text message, just be like, God, this is rough, or oh Lord, I need you, you know, like, or God, this is hilarious, whatever it is.
I'm like in my car, I'm like Lord, I just like tell him everything.
Right, exactly. And that's when God says like, oh, they get it now, they're finally starting to pray, you know. So yeah. And then there's kind of the other side about like intercessory prayer. Did you want to talk about that, or did you want to add any more kind of with the personal prayer life?
I think so. Okay, so I just watched this movie War Room, and it gave me chills, because it just reminded me of the power of prayer and how like as believers we carry a spiritual authority, and we are given the authority over the enemy. Like our prayers are so, they carry so much weight. And so this woman, she basically, her husband was having an affair, and she went into her prayer closet and just started like declaring, decreeing, and asking Jesus to come into the situation. And just, it was so wild to see like their whole marriage be restored, because God is the God of redemption and restoration. Yeah. And so he restored the entire marriage. And so I just like, it's my desire to see like my generation, like know that there's nothing impossible for God. No one is too far gone to save or to like redeem. And so it's just like, oh, it's just so many amazing testimonies. And we can talk about some of your stories that you've had. I would love to hear some like prayer stories that you have. But yeah, we can go into like more of the corporate prayer and intercession because of what's going on in the world right now, guys. Like obviously the world is looking very dark. And so the church needs to become brighter. Like as the world gets darker, we need to shine even brighter. Right. And our prayers are just so powerful, and the Lord is going to answer our prayers. So yeah, we can talk about like corporate prayer now. That would be great.
Yeah, definitely. No, you got it. I really believe that the plans of God, the plans of heaven, they come through our prayers. You know, really prayer is the place where that free will of man kind of intersects with the sovereign plan of God. That happens in prayer, when we're praying it out. So the personal prayer life, that fuels your personal heart with God, right? But intercessory prayer is when you release the heart of God over a region, a person, a nation, your marriage, whatever it may be, right? You're using your authority as a believer, as I'm married to Christ, or I'm a son or daughter of God, and I can now speak out with that authority to shift and change situations, you know. And it was funny, this was blowing my mind. I was looking it over, and the Lord started to teach me about like, hey, look into what intercession actually means, because that's a big fancy word, you know. And really it just to intercede means that you basically stand in the gap on behalf of somebody else. So it's like a lawyer, you know, is like, I don't know a thing about law, and if I try to defend myself, I'm going to mess it up. So I hire a lawyer who stands between me and the judge to basically fight my case as though it was his own, right? And that's intercession. He's called the intercessor in that moment. And so Jesus, he was the great intercessor, right? It was, we were messed up, we were sinful, but Jesus stood in the gap between us and the Father, right? And he became the one who fought for us as though it was for himself. He took the sin onto himself before the Father, the perfect judge, right? And that is the intercessor. And it says in 1 Timothy 2:5 that he is still the mediator and still our great the mediator and the intercessor between God and men, you know? So that's actually intercession, is kind of taking that role like Christ, standing in the middle and actually pleading to the judge, to the Father, on behalf of someone else as though it was for you, you know? And when I was looking into it, it's funny that a lot of people, when they hear the word sin, you know, they think just bad stuff. But the Hebrew word for sin, it actually means to like miss the mark or miss the path or to kind of wander off, you know, and it means that you miss the target. Like God said, here's the target. And we just, whoop, we missed it, you know, right?
<fell short. laughs>
Right. We fell short. Exactly. That's what the word sin means. When you look up the Hebrew word for intercession, it's this Hebrew word paga, and it means like intercession, but it actually means to reach the mark. And to make it onto the path, to reach the person. So it's the opposite of sin, right? Sin is when we miss it. Intercession, it actually means to reach it, to make it. And when you think about it, when do we look most like Christ is when we're in intercession, right? We look like him because on behalf of someone else, we're standing in the gap for between God and that man to plead their case, right? And I think God looks down from heaven and says like, oh, they got it. Like they reached the mark. They look just like Jesus. They got it, you know? And so I really believe that when we intercede, we look most like Christ from heaven's perspective. And I think that's why things start to shift and change because we're taking that spot, you know, and using our authority as we're married to Christ to speak it over a region and to shift it, you know?
Whoa, I got chills. That I've never heard it said like that. And that's just like, that's so beautiful. I never like thought about it that way, but whoa.
Right, right. And so it's like, what an honor. So now prayer isn't something that's boring. You know, the lawyer's not like falling asleep in front of the judge as he's trying to get a guy off death row. He's like passionately fighting for this person.
Yeah.
And that's how intercession, it was never meant to be like, oh God, if it's your will, then I guess let this happen, you know, but my prayers don't do much anyway, because you're just going to do it if you want anyway, right? It's like, no, we're passionately speaking out on this person's behalf as though it was our own, you know?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've interceded. I love interceding for people.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Lord wakes me up like in the middle of the night and I literally pop out of bed and I'm just like praying for someone.
It's true. It's true. And we have to realize that I think it's an honor of every believer, but it's also like a responsibility for us.
Yeah. I think it's a gift too. I think some people are called to intercede and then other people have different gifts and we all have different spiritual gifts, but I definitely think that this generation is called to be like prayer warriors.
Right.
For their family. And yeah, I just.
Right. And I think for me, what changes is when I started to understand what prayer does, that's what really changed. Because when we don't know the vision or the purpose behind it, we say, well, why would I do this? Because it just, does it do anything? But when we actually begin to realize that our prayers can change eternity and our prayers can change regions and our prayer can actually influence God. Like, I know that sounds weird, but it's in the Bible where people pray and God shifts his heart.
Heaven. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we realize the incredible, mysterious, like, thing God gave us called prayer, it becomes so beautiful, you know? And can I share a testimony just to show you like a power prayer?
Yes. Testimony so, time.
Yeah. Two, one. I'm a big, one of my spiritual gifts is just nerdiness, you know? So I like other people watching movies and I'll just like study revival, you know? So my fiance is always like, man, you got like 5 books on you at all time about like things, you know? Yeah. So there's this revival. It's one of my favorites. It's a prayer revival. And it happened in 1857 in like New York. Okay. And there was this average dude. He just was a worker. He wasn't a pastor. He was nothing like that. His name was Jeremiah. And he wasn't a theologian, but he just had this heart of like, God, I want to see you save New York. But I didn't go to school. I don't know how to preach. Like I don't know what to do. Right. And so he said, well, I guess I'll just gather people to pray. And so what he did is he passed out little flyers around like his workplace and said, hey, meet me in the little like cafeteria at noon and we'll just pray for an hour on our lunch break, right? And so he passes it out and they were just going to pray for revival. It's kind of the verse in Matthew where it says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to release out laborers. The idea is that there won't be any laborers unless we pray for them. And so revival and souls getting saved are directly tied to if we pray for it or not, you know. And so what he did is he's like, I don't know what to pray for, so we're just going to pray for that, for people to get saved. And no one showed up to the poor dude's prayer meeting, you know. And so he just started praying by himself. And about 20 minutes later, like three people came in and awkwardly were like, is this the prayer meeting? And they prayed with him. The next day, a few more people came in. And then all of a sudden, it started to grow and they were too big. So then they moved to a local church and then it grew and it grew and it grew. And it's crazy. Basically, within the year, it said that they had, or a few months, they had 15,000 people gathering to pray on their lunch period in New York. And then it hit the newspapers and it went wild. And multiple cities, New York, Chicago, Denver, LA, stopped everything. And it said that companies would shut down so their workers could pray. And they saw, it was like, I have the numbers here. It says that during that time, they saw 1 million people get saved in America. 1 million got saved and 2.8 million people got baptized during the 1 year that this man started this prayer meeting. And it said that 40,000 people would gather to just pray. And so here we see the power of prayer. Like, there was no great message. There was no evangelism. There was no nothing. They simply prayed, Lord, save America. And 1 million people got saved that year. And it says that they don't know why. All they could tie it to was this prayer meetings that happened.
That's so cool. Whoa.
And it's like, that's it. So can you imagine, like, what if we just prayed? What if we got our people on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and we went live and we just prayed, God, just save America. Like, you don't have to be some trained theologian. You just pray it. And
just bring your people to know you. Like, it's like having that encounter. Like, they just, all of a sudden, they're just like, oh my gosh, the scales fall from their eyes. And they're like, well, I want to make Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. And I'm going to live for him now. Like, that's like the prayer is like, we just want people to know Jesus, like have relationship with him.
Yeah. No, you said it. There's like this, kind of fogginess or scales on people's eyes. You said it. And like, prayer is the thing that knocks that thing off of them, you know? And so there's such power where the nation can shift based on if his people will pray, you know? And, can I share one more personal fun story?
Please.
Yeah, there's this time where, just to show the personal power of prayer, maybe like a, not just for a whole city, but a person. I was doing a missions trip actually in St. Croix. It's like a little island off in like the Atlantic. It's super small. And this lady comes up to my team and says that she has a daughter who lives in Washington, D.C., and she has a big tumor like in her kidney and that she has to get surgery tomorrow. So she just asked us, will you pray for my daughter? You know? So we say, sure. And we just get the daughter's name and we just start praying, Lord, would you heal her, God? Would you? And we just pray, declare, decree, all that stuff, bring healing to her, right? We never told the daughter what was going on. We just, in the war room, right? We just prayed for this girl who we had never met and we probably never will meet. And the mom the next day came running and found us crying and said, my daughter just called me and she doesn't have to go in for surgery. They said the tumor is gone. And the mom said, and where the tumor was, they thought maybe they got the wrong patient or maybe they messed up, but where the tumor was, there's actually this hole where the tumor used to be. And it says that, and she said, the doctors are confounded. They don't know what to do, but the tumor's gone and the daughter doesn't need surgery. And then the mom was able to say, we were praying for you. And it actually was the thing that then brought her daughter back to God. You know, and so we have a moment where we never met her, never saw her, didn't know anything. All we could do was pray. And this girl thousands of miles away got healed during the time we were praying. And so that just shows, like, it just blew my mind of, holy cow, God can reach anywhere in the world on our prayers.
Yeah. Yeah. Across time and distance. And I just, it's so wild because, I mean, when you're praying, it's like, it's, you're having to tap into faith, right? Like, faith is not a intellectual knowledge or logical at all. It's literally a substance that comes on you. It's a gift that must be partnered with hope. It says, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so it's something unseen to come into existence, that you are literally having this like crazy faith for something that you have not seen. But you are believing, and you're believing that God is hearing you, and you're going to partner with him on that. So exactly. That's just amazing.
Exactly. Wow. And it, the quicker that we can understand that it doesn't make sense, like why would God entrust something so powerful to us? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And the only way it kind of works is if you realize he's a relational God and he doesn't want to just do things alone. He's looking for people who will partner with his heart and then release it over a person or a region, you know? And when we do that, things shift and change, you know, it's so amazing, but we don't need to understand it. We kind of just need to accept it and pick it up as a gift, you know?
Yes. Okay. Oh man, those testimonies that just, oh, so good. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about, because I feel like this is something that the church doesn't really explain very well, because I grew up in church and I had no idea what this was until last year. And I thought it was, I did not think it was from God, but then God literally showed me. He was like, no, this is actually from me. But I've been water baptized, but I never been baptized by the Holy Spirit and filled up by the Holy Spirit. And so last summer when I got baptized, I had people lay hands on me, and it talks about in Acts, like how people would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not just by water, but by the Holy Spirit. And so my friends were like praying for me to receive the gift of tongues so that I could speak in a heavenly language. And I was like, no, I definitely, like, I kept denying it. I was like, no, I can't do that. Like, that's not something that I've been gifted with. And so one day my friend was like, let me pray for you. So he sent me like a voice message and he prayed for me. And then I remember hearing it and going, okay, God, if this is something that I can do and that you want me to pray with this in this language that I don't understand and I sound absolutely ridiculous, like show me, like I actually want to know. And so I was in my backyard one night and I was just staring up at the stars and I was like, okay, literally just, I'm just going to do this out of faith. I'm probably going to sound really ridiculous. So I just started praying and it's like, I opened up my mouth and I just, all the fear went away around what I would sound like. And I just out of faith started praying and I didn't understand what I was saying at all, but it was like God was speaking through me. And it's like sometimes when I intercede, I don't have the words to say. And it says that the Holy Spirit like intercedes for us in things that we don't understand. And so like, if even when you're like crying or you're crying out to God, like the Holy Spirit is literally interceding on like with you as you're crying out or speaking in your heavenly language. And it's like, you don't know what you're praying for. You don't know who you're praying for, but you're praying for something. You're praying for someone. And so that's been a lot of my journey, and my intercession has been in a heavenly language. And so I just encourage anyone listening, like if you've gone to church and you think that like that's not for today, just ask God. Say, God, if this is something you want me to do, like show me and teach me how to do it. I don't know how it works and I don't need to know. I don't need to have all the answers. That's the beauty of like walking with God, is like you actually don't have to have everything figured out and you can kind of just lean back and trust like that he's got you.
I did an entire sermon just on tongues, you know, because it's a whole big thing, you know, and
I want to know.
I'm one of those people, I absolutely believe that nothing has changed from the New Testament. God didn't say, hey, you have gifts, and then, you know what, now you don't, you know? And so I believe it's biblically based, and I love it. It's something that is, it's such a beautiful gift from God, and it's something that is so edifying to us, you know? And so one of the great ways that explained it to me is this idea of, you know how like, babies, they can feel emotions, angry, sad, you know, hungry, all that, right? But they don't have words to describe what's going on inside of them. So they just cry, you know, and yet the father and the mother can interpret the cries. You know, I just hear my friend's baby crying and yet he is like, oh, he's hungry. Or the mom's like, oh, that's a tired cry. Or, oh, he's just fussy because he's uncomfortable. Like somehow the parents can interpret the cries that not even the child has words for, right? And that's exactly what tongues is there's moments where English fails, where we don't know what to pray. You know, I have these, oh God, I'm so overwhelmed. I don't even know what to pray right now. You know, like help me pray, but I don't know what. And so God, like he gave babies the gift of crying to let their parents know there's something going on and only the parents can interpret it, he gave us this spiritual cry of tongues. He gave us this prayer language that we don't even know what it means. All we know is when we do it, it kind of relieves things inside of us that we don't have words for. And it says that the Father can interpret it, you know? So Romans 8:26, it actually says that the Spirit will help you in your weakness. And it says that he can interpret the groaning that are too deep for words.
Yeah. You know? That's the scripture I was referring to.
Yeah, totally. And so tongues really is that spiritual cry where you're like, God, so what helped me is I just said, Lord, I said, if it's God, then it's good, and I want it in my life, right? And I said, Lord, if this is you, then I'm going to go in my room, and I'm going to practice speaking in tongues, and I feel like a loser. I don't know. This is weird. And I just said, I feel stupid. But if it's you, God, would you tie my emotions that are too deep for words to these words, right? Yeah, and would you interpret them for me? And then I could feel it. I could feel like things lift off my chest where I said, I don't even know what I said, but I feel so much better, you know? Mm-hmm. And I actually didn't believe in tongues. I was actually trained against it, you know? And then I was
on people are like,
right, totally. Cause you know what's so funny is it's the one gift that Paul actually says, do not forbid this gift, you know? And it's kind of like, probably because that's the only one people are really going to try to forbid because it creeps them out, you know? So Paul had to clarify, whatever you do, don't forbid this one, right? And so, you know, what's funny is I was in China. I was, like I said, I lived in China and North Korea as a missionary, and I was living in China, and there was this dude up in like an attic. And he was just praying his heart out. And I went up there to see what was going on because it was loud. And what's crazy is he was praying in Spanish, right? I'm from San Diego. I know Spanish from just living near the border and picking it up and stuff. And he was praying, limpia mi corazón, Señor, limpia mi corazón, right? So he's saying, clean my heart, God, clean my heart, Lord, is what he's praying. So I'm thinking this Chinese dude somehow speaks Spanish. So I'm stoked, right? And so I run over to him afterwards and I'm like, hola, mi nombre Taylor, right? I try to talk to him and he just looks at me and then he looks and he says to the interpreter, like, what is the guy saying? And then the guy said, what are you saying? I said, I'm talking to you in Spanish. And they both were like, where do they speak Spanish? Like they had no idea what I was doing, right? And then I just said, well, you were just praying in Spanish, right? And my other teammates heard it too, right? And the guy said, no, I wasn't. I was praying in tongues, you know? And he said, I just was making up words and praying in tongues by faith. And my teammates were like, no, you were speaking Spanish. And so then they were like, Taylor has the gift of interpretation, right? And I was like, no, wait. Wait, no, he was speaking Spanish, right? And then they all came running at me speaking in tongues saying like, interpret me, you know? And I was like, that's not how it works, you know? But from that day, I said, okay, Lord, I believe in this now. I just saw it with my own eyes. Why did he speak Spanish? Well, if he, I don't know. That's the mystery of prayer is if he spoke English, maybe I would have never even approached him because I just assumed he knew English then, you know, if he spoke some other language, we wouldn't have known, but because it was Spanish, it was enough for me to catch it, run forward and say, what's going on? And then the man, I told him, you were saying, clean my heart, Lord. And he just started crying and said, that's it. That's what I'm trying to pray. Then he's like, that just gave me words. Thank you. You know? Wow. And so the interpretation came and he felt so known and seen and loved by Jesus. And it blew my mind as to like, God is so much bigger than the box we put him in, you know?
Oh, I want more stories like that. I love stuff like that.
Yeah. So after that, I was like, well, apparently this is real. And if it's real, then I need
to. So it helped him and it helped you. God was like, I'm going to use these two.
Totally. So then when I asked for tongues, it was like you, where I almost had to practice it. They prayed for me to have it, but I didn't all of a sudden just start blasting it out. Some people do, and that's awesome. But every single gift of the Holy Spirit is activated through faith, right? Is through risk. Like you don't know if someone gets healed until you take the risk to pray for them for healing. Yeah. You don't know if the prophecy is correct until you take the risk to say it. Same with tongues. It requires faith of like you take the risk in speaking it out, you know? And then a lot of times you find out from the fruit of it what it actually was, you know? And so I actually, they prayed for me to receive it. And I was like, I got nothing. And then they said, well, just try. And I said, I got nothing.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, totally. And the guy was like, I don't know, just say Baba Biba. And I was like, really? Baba Biba? And the theologian in me was so offended.
You were probably like, what?
I know. You're like, I'm not a child, you know? And then he's like, just try it and just ask God for the gift and try it. He's a good father. He gives good gifts to you. If it's God, you know, ask for it. So yeah. I said, fine. And I asked for it. And then I said, Baba Biba. And then I was like, Baba Biba. And then all of a sudden it felt like something pierced my heart. And I just was like, oh, and I started to cry and I was like, Baba Biba. And then I just broke down and I cried for like an hour, you know?
Oh, wow.
And then after I kind of came to, I was like, holy cow, this works, you know, this is real. And mm-hmm. from that day on, I just said, okay, like, and honestly, I just said Baba Biba for a while until it developed like you into yeah. more languages. That was the only syllable I had. And then now it just flows and I don't even think about it, you know.
That's such a wild gift. Yeah, I've noticed that mine is actually like only a few phrases. Like it's not like a ton of different things that sound different every time. It's like it sounds very similar every time I say it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I wonder what I'm saying. I hope someone can interpret me one day.
Totally. I had a friend who kept saying a Hebrew word and he didn't know it, but I just knew what the word meant. And he didn't even, and I told him, oh, dude, you're saying this. He was saying Adonai, which is a name for the Lord.
Oh, I love
And he didn't even know. And so it's amazing. Oh. So I'll encourage you. Yeah, we could do a whole nother talk about like how to do it and how to get started. So I have Instagram and TikTok. It's just Taylor C. Jensen, and you can find me on there. Otherwise, I have a blog, and I actually am creating Bible studies on like how to hear God's voice and prayer and things like this, you know? So, and that one, you can go to my blog and sign up for just like weekly messages and for the courses and things like that. And that's fireplacefaith.com. Well, the word fireplace actually came from prayer, where the Lord said we're meant to be like fireplaces of his sustainable presence inside of us. And so, So go to fireplacefaith.com and you can find me on there and subscribe to the blog and, or find me on social media. I would love to connect with you guys.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Taylor, for coming on to the podcast.
Sure. My pleasure.
Awesome time. I appreciate your time. Thank you guys for listening to Unfiltered Faith Podcast. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, may his face shine upon you.